This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Time now to talk to best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Golf, Demon Tysons, and Duke's Golf in Annapolis, and now part of the worldwide golf shop family. Your two local golf shops will now offer a 90-day satisfaction guarantee and larger selection while continuing to provide great service to both Golf, Them, and Duke's Golf. We're efforting it.
Do you like talking to ghosts?
Well, we do have a new hotline number.
We do.
I got to get the full read in, so sure. I got to do that twice.
Understood.
So that's one.
Do we think the phones are better today?
Yes, we do. I had to relay the new hotline number to John.
Very good.
Okay. And I think John is with us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. Yes, new hotline number.
Nice.
So
mm-hmm.
I hope you can hear me well.
We hear you wonderfully.
By the way, we were just talking about like Germany and Mexico losing in the World Cup, and we're not big soccer guys by any stretch.
Right.
But when it's on, the World Cup is kind of fascinating. Have you found yourself watching any of it?
Any of it, yes. Much of it, no. You know, it's not like I stop in the afternoon and go, oh my gosh, the World Cup's on.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly... You know, I watched the second half of the U.S. game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch the England game because I was in the car. I watched some of the Wales game. You know, so I've watched some, and I'm certainly aware of what's going on. Like you mentioned, Germany and Mexico losing, Japan getting in, stuff like that. Mexico firing their coach, which always happens when somebody fails in the World Cup. Actually, it happens all the time in soccer, I mean, even more than hockey. I'm certainly aware of what's going on and that the U.S. is playing at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, for sure.
John, you mean you're not in a World Cup pool like the degenerates you're on the other end of
He's
the phone line with?
He's not in any pool.
I ever been in any pool that you guys know of?
Besides a swimming pool.
I try to get in a swimming pool, but that's pretty much it. You know, I think when I was in college, you know, we used to have pools during football season, and I did some of that, but that's probably the last time I did it. I'm a bad gambler. I'll give you a perfect example. The other night, I was talking to my brother, who likes to bet, and he says, there's no games I like tonight. And I said, well, what are some of the games? And he said, Michigan State, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, well, Michigan State's good on the road, you know. And it was like a toss-up, 1.5 or something.
Yes.
And he said,
you
killed him. And what I didn't know was that Michigan State's best player was out.
Right.
You know, because I don't follow stuff like that. So Bobby bet the game and got crushed. But the thing about Bobby that's good is when I do get, you know, when he asks me for what I think of a game, if I tell him and I'm wrong, which is often, he never gives me a hard time about it.
Right.
As opposed to Chris Wallace, who years ago begged me to help him with his NCAA pool. And I said to him, you guys know I've said this, I don't do an NCAA pool, I don't talk to, because I'm going to screw it up, because most of my decisions are personal, rather than, you know, just figuring out who's better. And so she said, no, I promise I won't give you a hard time if I don't do well. Mm-hmm. So I did it, and he didn't do well, and he accused me of screwing him on purpose.
Which hey, you didn't, of
hey,
course.
John, you're
no, I didn't. I just screwed up.
You would never do that. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that to anybody.
You'll be happy to hear that one Matt Valdez is headed to Army Navy in Philadelphia.
Good for him.
Yeah, this is
good
my this him. Is my first Army Navy game. I'm very
first
excited.
Experience.
Get there early. Get there early.
We're getting there on Friday.
Yeah. Well, okay. You don't have to be in the stadium on Friday. Did I ever tell you guys a story about the first time I took Chris to an Army Navy game?
No.
And we're driving into Philadelphia on Friday, and she looks at me and she says, "So what sport are they playing tomorrow?" That's the kind of sports fan she is. She says, "When I talk about sports, I sound like the teacher in Peanuts."
Right. Yeah.
No, that should be an awesome experience.
Well, Matt will have fun.
Yeah.
He'll have fun.
I'll meet up with you, John.
Yeah, well, do you have press pass or just tickets?
Oh, just tickets.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be kind of hard to find me. In
you're,
the
invited,
70,
you're invited to the tailgate.
Would you go to the tailgate for a drink?
No, I don't drink at all anymore. Probably not.
Drink.
We'll have soda.
Yeah, have some soda there, right?
Those are good.
He just wants to hang out with you. He just wants to hang out with you.
Yeah, we'll see what the weather looks like. That pretty much figures out my tailgating schedule.
Right.
Well, what is intriguing you this weekend in the sports world?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we mentioned the World Cup game tomorrow. I was talking to my editor, Dan Steinberg, at the Post earlier this week, and because I was complaining because the Maryland column, I wrote a Maryland column about Maryland football this week, and you know, they kept holding it. And he said, "We've got to get all these World Cup stories in." And I said, "Okay, everybody cares about the Americans, but, you know, come on." And he sent me a thing that the five most read stories in the paper, like on Thursday, mm-hmm. were all World Cup stories. And I was thinking about it, and I know we have a big group of soccer fans in this area because of the diplomats, and because there's not the Washington diplomats who I covered, but also because, you know, there's a lot of
multicultural
ethnic groups.
Area.
Yeah. And but I also realize the World Cup is one of those events. It's only every 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's like people care about swimming during the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
And they care about soccer during the World Cup. And so that I understand that it's a big deal for me to watch a 100-minute soccer game, because they all seem to have 10 extra minutes nowadays, is difficult. You know, I mean, think about this for a second. And again, I know the soccer people are going to say, "I don't appreciate the beauty of the game or the running or whatever." But the U.S. has played three games, mm-hmm. and there have been three goals scored mm-hmm. in three games. The U.S. scored two, and Wales scored one. I think a lot of it has to do with how you grow up. I did not grow up a soccer fan. I mean, I covered soccer early in my professional career, and I think I appreciate it up to a certain point. But it's not like baseball, mm-hmm. where I grew up with baseball. I played baseball. I can watch a 1-0, 2-1 baseball game and be, you know, entranced by it.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to watch a 0-0, as they say, soccer game and be entranced.
I know a lot of people say that, John, but I had the same argument with JP. And JP and I both grew up playing soccer, and we played as adults, you know, up in through our 40s. I find it interesting, even just the crosses and the near misses, the headers.
Well, that's my point. You played the game.
Yeah.
You played the game. You grew up with the game.
But yeah.
Doesn't matter. I didn't play baseball at a high level. I was a high school baseball player.
Yeah.
But I also went to 66 Mets games the year they won the World Series.
Right.
And watched on TV constantly, listened on my... I would go to bed when the Mets or Yankees were playing on the West Coast. I would go to bed with my transistor radio under the pillow. Mm-hmm. Until I fell asleep. That's different, and your experience with soccer was different. And I get when people start telling me just what you said, you know, mm-hmm. I appreciate the crosses or whatever. I don't argue with them. Mm-hmm. I say, you know, great. I don't get it like you do.
Yeah.
And it's like I remember I wrote a column when Dale Earnhardt Sr. died. And, you know, you remember the massive outpouring from NASCAR fans about that. And I said, look, I don't understand NASCAR. I mean, to me, it looks like a bunch of left turns. But I understand that there are people who love NASCAR. And I feel the same way about soccer. I would never claim I understand it on a level like you do, Eric, or the experts or guys who played at any level. But I do appreciate those who do, and I do appreciate the hugeness of the World Cup.
Have you covered NASCAR? Have you been? I'm sure you have in your years.
I never covered NASCAR. I covered the Indy 500.
You have.
And the funny thing about the Indy 500 was the start was just great. You know, the cars lined up behind the pace car, and they're going around, and finally the pace car pulls off, and they go, boom! And it's really amazing. And then for the most of the next 3.5 hours, I didn't even know who was leading most of the time. I mean, because you can literally not know because of pit stops.
Right.
And so, and it was a fascinating cultural event for me to cover. To get there at whatever 9:10 in the morning, and there's 100,000 people who are already drunk. Mm-hmm. But NASCAR, I know, is the same way, and it's a big deal, a huge deal. I remember once I was driving home from Florida, which, as you guys know, I do, and I decided, okay, I can't make it tonight. I'm just too tired. And I pulled off into a Courtyard Marriott that I knew of in North Carolina. And I walked up to the, obviously didn't have a reservation, and I walked up to the front door, and there was a sign on the door that said, if you don't have a reservation, don't even come in the lobby. Hmm. And there was a NASCAR race the next day. Hmm. And, you know, everything was, you know, overloaded in the entire area for probably about 100 miles. So I drove home. But so I do understand. I do not understand people who feel the need to put down a sport that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, okay, you don't like it. Nobody's making you watch it.
Mm-hmm. Right, and nobody's forcing you.
No, nobody's making you watch it or read about it or follow it. But respect those who do.
John, how surprised are you by the men's Maryland hoop start? Kevin Willard is off to a 7-0 start, and they're just blowing teams out. Now, I know a lot of them are like directional schools, and
yeah, but they've won. They've beaten. They've got three. Well, two good wins. You can't count Louisville as a good win.
Good, really good wins.
And they blew them out, like you said.
Yeah, and they're ranked, and they've got
one tonight.
Like they're trending towards
tonight's an interesting game. Tonight's an interesting game because Illinois is good.
Illinois beat UCLA.
They've had a hard time filling the building, like during the toward the end of the turge.
Illinois has a kid named Terrence Shannon. I think he's a pro now. He's an older kid, so maybe not, but he's a really good player. So watch.
Yeah, no, and they're good, and he's a good coach, and they're in the NCAAs pretty much every year. So that's a good test. But Miami, like you said, Miami and St. Louis were good tests. St. Louis is like picked first or second in the A-10, and Miami was in the Elite Eight last year. A bunch of new players, like almost everybody. So yeah, no, I'm happy for Kevin. He's getting Scott to play hard, which was a problem Mark had sometimes with him. They've been impressive. Now Barry Sverluga, who like Boz, because Boz is his hero, tends to get carried away quickly. Basically, has them winning the next 5 national championships in his column this morning. But it's definitely an impressive start. And I'm not, I mean, am I surprised they're 7-0 as opposed to say 6-1 or 5-2? Yeah, a little bit. But am I surprised that Kevin's doing a good job? No, because I thought Kevin was a good hire. And, you know, I've known Kevin since he was a Rick Pitino assistant back at Louisville. So, or Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, so I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Maryland. I hope they win tonight.
Have you gotten, so you've known Kevin for a long time. Are you going to build that relationship with him like you have with Gary and Mark?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he and I have been trying to find a time to go to lunch since like September.
Mm-hmm.
I hope when they get their Christmas break, we'll be able to do it. He lives right near here. So we should be able to pull it off at some point.
And
but
Mark,
yes, I hope so for sure.
And Mark is done, right? That's the vibe I'm getting from people.
If Mark wants to coach again, he'll coach again.
Right, but it doesn't seem
because
like
he's much more respected in the coaching community than he is in the Maryland community.
Yeah.
And he's only, 54?
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to coach again, he will. He's got plenty of money. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't spoken to him. I keep saying to myself, I got to call Mark and see what he's up to. You know, not as a reporter, but as someone who, again, I've known him since he was a player at Kansas. So I honestly don't know what he's thinking right now.
I think he was just burned out.
Well,
right?
I think he wants to get his younger kids through high school.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I know he doesn't want to move.
He don't want to move
until they're out of high school. Yes. And I think he's got four altogether.
Yep.
So yes, and then that I had heard that.
And his wife apparently loves the area, and they have a
Well, they both love the area,
and he's got a. I think he's got a beach house.
I think he just got one.
Yeah, yeah. She loves it. She just loves, you know, this area. So
yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why Kenny Niumatalolo never left Navy was because his wife loves Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I mean, sometimes we forget that it's a very transient lifestyle for coaches. And, you know, they get married, they have kids, and their life changes. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a consideration for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my son Danny was first born, ESPN, after Jim Valvano died, tragically, was interested in having me go to Bristol like two nights a week, you know, and be on the set there. And I just said no, because I didn't want to travel with an with an infant son. And at the time, I didn't need to.
Talking to John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. One Snyder question for you this week. One thing we were kind of kicking around amongst ourselves a few days ago is it's been kind of quiet on the ownership front.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the team is starting to play better, and they're starting to win. And they're actually... I went to a game about a month ago, and we've had a bunch of callers say the crowds, maybe they're not sellouts, but you're getting a little more passion from the fans. It's getting a little louder. Is there any way Snyder changes his mind?
Jesus, I hope not.
No.
But, you know, I mean, that's part of, you know, most fans, especially in this area, are front runners.
Sure.
And so the team's playing better, like you said, and so more people are going to the games. They know tickets are available, and they're not expensive. And they're more, you know, fans are always more enthusiastic when the team's ahead, right? But I think I said this to you guys when the story first came out that he had, whomever it is looking to get a sale. I think there's a smoking gun somewhere. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an investigation. I don't know if he's been told, that there are 24 votes against him. You know, notice that when Jim Irsay came out and said it's time for him to look at selling, no other owner came riding in on a white horse for Snyder and said, oh, no, 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 we love Dan, we want Dan to keep the team. Nobody. There was silence. Hmm. And it's not like Jim Irsay is a model owner, for crying out loud. Hmm. And so I just think, I think at this point, I mean, it's his choice, but in the sense that he can turn around and say, no, I'm not selling the team. But I think there's something going on that's forcing this on him. Because, remember, Snyder doesn't do anything unless he's forced to. Mm-hmm. You know, he said for years, I will never change the team's name, put that in all caps. And then when his corporate backer said, you know, unless you change the team name, we're out. Oh, my God, he changed the team name. I think something like that's going on here.
All right, John.
At least I hope so.
Yeah, we all hope
so. By the way, I'll tell you this real quick. You know, I spoke at the DeMatha Smoker last week, night before Thanksgiving. It was a lot of fun.
How was the turnout?
It was good. The room was packed.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Must have been because Larry Hogan was there. when I spoke, somebody asked me a Snyder question. And I said, Dan Snyder is the worst owner in the history of sports. And I got a standing ovation.
So we played in the room. I like it.
Yep.
Was that your first reaction or your first answer after the question?
Yes, that was my first answer. That's what I said.
Yeah, okay.
John.
That's awesome.
We got to run.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
It's John Feinstein.
See ya.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, brought to you by Golfman Tysons and Duke's Golf in Annapolis. They're now part of the worldwide golf shop family. Your two local golf shops now offer a 90-day satisfaction guarantee and larger selection while continuing to provide great service at both Golfman and Duke's Golf. We've got Lisa Ann joining us in studio coming up at 9. Paul Dottino, who covers the New York Giants on the Commanders-Giants matchup at 8:45. But next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. Right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we have a $100 Burton's Grill gift card to give away. We will do that later this hour. Stay tuned for that. I'm going to be at Burton's Grill next Wednesday, 5 to 7, for a Still Barking book signing. You can grab the book on Amazon, but I'm going to have 20 copies, maybe 25 copies with me, so long as it gets shipped before next Wednesday.
I'll check the shipping.
But it is available still on Amazon. Perfect holiday gift, Hanukkah, Christmas, all that. And Burton's Grill just opened up in the Kentlands in Gaithersburg. Really nice spot. So stay tuned for your chance to win the $100 gift card. But right now we open up the entertainment page, which is brought to you by Steven Singer Jewelers. The most hated jeweler in America is not in the jewelry business. He's in the love business. It's the easiest and smartest way to celebrate the real love of your life with real diamonds from a real jeweler you can trust. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com.
All right, boys. I have a hard time calling Kanye Ye. I don't know why, but that's what he wants to be called.
Ye, not ye.
Call him whatever you want to call him. You haven't called Matthew McConaughey by his right name
yeah,
in 20 years.
I'm just going to call him Kanye.
Just call him Kanye. It's fine.
To me, he's Kanye. I'm not trying to insult the guy. Just you know him as Kanye.
Why wouldn't you insult him? He insults a whole a whole religious group.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what you do whatever you want.
I care about yay, ye, ya.
Not at all.
Not one bit.
It's a shame. I actually think, if you didn't follow, so overnight he went on this, like, Twitter rampage.
He's a jackass.
He went on InfoWars, and he was, like, praising the Nazis and praising Hitler, and, you know, just kind of stuff that's just really kind of...
What was the deal with his face being covered? Why did
he does that sometimes.
I don't know.
I asked the same thing this morning. Right? What do they call it? A barklava or something? There's a word for that thing that he was wearing.
I don't know.
But it's just his face, like, almost like pantyhose.
Baklava is a silly, like, Greek dessert.
Yeah.
Barklava.
I know what you're going for. I'm not sure the exact word.
It's
I know what you're
like
going
that.
For. Yeah.
Still
yeah.
Barklava.
Yeah.
Silly. My
anyway,
sequel.
He's gone on this rampage. And personally,
Balenciaga?
No, that's like a
you're talking about. That's
you're talking about Balenciaga.
What is that?
Just fancy
fashion.
But they're in
brand.
Trouble too because they had like a teddy bear or there was BDSM or something
just
like that.
A teddy bear. They have a whole. Their whole platform is based on like child porn imagery and all. I mean, it's crazy.
Stay far
fashion,
away.
You know what the fashion industry is?
I don't understand. Bunch
of sickos.
Bunch of sickos in the fashion industry. But anyway, and Kanye's knee deep in the fashion industry. He's also defending.
Not if
Balenciaga.
You get a Chuck Lee special like I'm wearing.
You get
today.
A free silly, free silly.
So I don't even want to go through. All
I can't
this
believe.
Stuff.
By the way, Valdez paid $95 for that $3.
I know.
China sweatshirt.
I know. He's wearing a new tiger logo or whatever.
I thought Frank. It was a Bengals thing at first, and then.
I told him, I said, I love the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But I agree with Cakes. Like, we have a lot of guys that we know that are, like, in the t-shirt business.
Yeah.
They could make that sweatshirt with the exact same quality.
Yeah, of course.
For $4.
He said, yeah, how much do you think I paid for this
Chuck Lee
could
have made this for me.
Yeah. Totally how much did you pay for it?
With shipping and handling, I paid $94.
Jesus.
Wow. But I got to tell you, I
conversation
like
piece, though. Conversation piece.
Like he's all in on Tiger. I like it. But anyway,
I'm committed. Tiger's my love.
You need to be committed for spending $94 on that crew neck.
You know what? I said this is my Christmas gift to myself.
Hey, right. I understand that. Treat yourself. Sometimes you just need to treat yourself, right?
I got to say that with Kanye West, I didn't follow like the early anti-Semitic rants But when you're praising Hitler and the Nazis, he's lost.
Here's my opinion. My opinion, he's in a manic phase, right? So they said he's bipolar, and he's said in some of these interviews that he's not taking the medicine. He rejects the diagnosis.
It's called his Carson Wentz phase.
Okay.
His Carson Wentz phase.
So he's on a total manic phase, in my opinion. Yeah. And I don't want to say he needs to be institutionalized, but he needs help.
He needs help. You know who else does? Antonio Brown needs help.
Antonio Brown's in the same boat.
Same boat. They both need psychiatric help.
Well, they're buddies. Antonio they're guys.
Brown. Like they 50, both need 50, to go away whatever, for about 54, a year.
See, whatever is, it's called.
51-50.
Yeah. In my opinion, I'm not a clinician, but this is mental illness, what we're seeing when he's going on these ragers. Like, he was rage tweeting last night. Forget about all of the anti-Semitic stuff.
He was rage tweeting
that Chris Paul was cheating on him on his wife with
Chris
Kim
Paul's
Kardashian.
Like, why am I getting this?
He's getting trapped. Just
into the mix last
he's getting
night.
Mental
illness shrapnel.
He was like, before I get kicked off, just so you know, and he threw up a picture of Chris Paul and said, I caught this guy with my wife.
Oh man,
but Chris Paul's that
any possibility?
He's violating
any possibility? That's true though.
Oh, yeah, I believe it's probably 50-50.
I know, but what Chris Paul's doing right now to his wife is going, look, Kanye's just, he's on one right now, as the kids say.
Exactly.
100%.
He's loco. You can't believe what he's saying.
So, I mean, he's just, you know, he's on one. And Elon Musk, who, one good thing about him, in my opinion, he's trying to have an open dialogue on Twitter. Even Elon had to ban him last night. Because he posted a picture of, like, he said his Yay 24, because he's running for president, apparently. His campaign logo was a Star of David and a swastika. I don't understand that. I don't know that. I don't know anything about it. So,
well, you know
even
what?
Elon said, that's enough.
Well, you know what has to happen? And I feel, I feel bad, but these shows have to stop booking him. You got to stop giving him a platform. But I know how our society works now is you want to book them because all of a sudden you're going to get clicks like crazy.
But it's actually taking advantage of a person in the throes of mental illness.
Yeah. That's true too. And 100%. you can't give this pop though, EB.
A stream would be on fire.
Valdez was giving me that speech this morning, and I had to kindly remind him we booked Rob Ford at the height of his downfall. Yeah. And we were the only show he would go on.
And then I said
that was just crack.
But we all
just crap.
Oh, he was saying crazy things. He wasn't being anti-Semitic.
That went national.
That went international.
Then we sent an email. Then we sent an email to see if Kanye would do our Junkies Parlay.
Dude,
that's hilarious.
I just want you to know, I don't have that many regrets in my life. That's one of my top fivers. Mm. That we didn't take up the Toronto mayor at the height of the mania. This would be like right now. Like if Kanye invited us to his mansion to broadcast. We wouldn't be going to Kanye's off the list. Rob Ford, in the height of his crack.
I'm not sure the company would allow us to go to Kanye's.
But Rob Ford did invite us to the Toronto mansion for the governor or whatever the hell he is. I don't even know what he was.
He was the mayor.
International headlines.
Yes.
He invited us
to the
broadcast.
Junks were on
CNN. Yeah, we were CNN.
From the
Borgata.
I remember it.
Jason, you know, either was too cheap to buy the plane ticket or
needed his beauty sleep.
Jason didn't get a limo ride to the airport or something.
It was a brilliant move.
It was going to be like right during Christmas, too. It would have been a major fiasco.
I mean,
I cared not at all about Robert Ford.
No, you cared at the time. You just didn't want to be inconvenienced.
You didn't want to be inconvenienced.
Well, I mean,
sure.
If the company would have said, all right, I'll pay for everything. And that's one thing. But Eric always offers up his own money to go these places. He wants to go to Minnesota to see Kirk Cousins play the Manders and pay for everything. What doesn't make any sense?
Well, no.
It makes no sense.
Well, hold on. He begs
for money on Venmo.
Yeah, he would do it, though.
I do need money because I had to Venmo Drabby $50 because he luck boxed the Wednesday.
I need money, too, my friend.
But, no, hold on.
I need money.
What I'm saying in regards to that is... Mm-hmm. You have a few bucks set aside. Worst case scenario for the show. Let's just say
our
company has no money. Wow. We took it all.
It's all
there's nothing
for.
Left. I would pay for a ticket if the Commanders go on a playoff run to the first round game for the good of the show. What would you do for the good of the show? What would you pay for the good of the show? Give me a scenario of something you would pay for.
I can't think of anything. Besides, maybe
so hold on, if we went to
Christmas bonuses to the producers.
Okay, we do that.
That's standard.
That's just
silly.
Besides, I'm saving that audio right now.
No, we don't have to, but we do that because we're good people. Mm-hmm. Okay, but take that out.
Very, very good people.
Yeah. Look at buttering up.
They want a bigger bonus.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
I'm going to give you a scenario.
I'd have to think about it.
All right. What if Tiger invited us out to his house? Now, I know you love Tiger.
Well, Tiger's different.
Tiger invited us out, not to the woods.
No. Let's say, hold on. All right, hold on. Broadcast from a D.C. TGL tournament, the virtual tournament that he's doing, right?
Okay. Yeah. It like one of those, but it's got to fly.
The first one's down in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. We got to fly. We got to buy our own ticket.
Right.
And Tiger's going to do the show.
Right.
He's going to do the first hour of the show with us.
Right.
But we got to pay for our accommodation.
For everything.
At least it's a realistic scenario.
Well, give me a number.
I don't know. You got to buy your airplane.
Cost you like $1,500.
Yeah, it'd probably be like so $1,500,
$2,000.
$1,500 to, what's different? $1,500 to go hang out with Tiger for an hour.
Well, and do the show and get the promotion out of it and all that. It's not just about hanging with Tiger. It's good for the show. You would do that.
The show is fine. We can do anything for the show. We've been doing it for 27 years.
I know, but it will make it even better.
He's holding on to his money.
$1,500. I'd think about it, but I would not pay $1,500 to go see the Vikings. But
so you wouldn't pay.
-38 degree temp hold snow.
What if it was $200, though?
What if it was for the Super Bowl? What if we were in the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. All right.
Taylor Heineke.
Carson leads it to the Super Bowl.
You wouldn't get anywhere for $1,500 in the Super Bowl.
Okay, we got free tickets, but we had to pay for our own accommodation and our own airfare.
Again, you'd have to give me a number.
This is actually a stupid hypothetical, because EB's not going to spend any money and go to Minnesota. He doesn't go to games in Orlando.
But for certain things, I would. In other words, I'm telling you right now, 100% I would do it.
Yeah. So then do it. If they play Minnesota, just go yourself.
Take the Comrex.
For the show.
Maybe I will. But the point is...
You won't.
I'm not a kid. I take money and light it on fire.
Okay.
I know. But I'll bet you right now
that you won't do it. If they end up playing the Vikings in the playoffs, you won't go to the game.
If you set up a scenario for me where I could do it, maybe I will. If it's good for the show, maybe I will.
You just buy a ticket. What do you mean set up a scenario? You buy a ticket and you go.
Get a hotel room. Go stay at the Holiday Inn Express.
I mean,
and zoom in.
And then you come back on Monday and you talk about how great experience it was.
I do it every weekend. Uh-huh. It's not that fun when you're the one guy. If all four of us go, it's a lot better.
I'm going to bring your boys. Tell Vinny and Joe to come with you.
You wouldn't
do it. Let's go to the Minnesota Commanders game.
If it was the first round playoff game, and we could broadcast from a bar there the night, the Friday before.
Is there a Commanders bar in Washington that would hire the Junks?
There has to be.
Right? That's a scenario.
I'm just
You mean in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
These guys don't like to spend a penny.
No, I'd spend money on something. Like, if it came down to it, I would have spent money.
You would go to a Bad Bunny concert, but I'm saying this would help the show.
Bad Bunny's the number one artist in the world.
All right, but the Commanders pay your
bills.
Those are
free.
I'm tighter than you.
I would have gone to Toronto.
To
go back to the question, if Kanye West invited us to his home, his brand new home in Malibu or whatever it was, to broadcast, I would pay for a ticket
because
to do the show from there.
You think is worth the clicks?
Yes.
Okay, but the Commanders being in the Super Bowl, what if the
your Commanders Vikings was the question.
Talking about two things that are absolutely impossible?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Impossible.
I'm just curious the limits of your cheapness. That's all.
Well, talking about things that I know are impossible, I'm going to tell you I won't do it. If it was something that was in front of me on paper, all right, maybe I think about it. But now those scenarios are impossible.
Okay, but this is not impossible. They play the Vikings in the first round.
Yeah, I can tell you that. I would not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do that.
I don't know why.
You guys are just different.
Yeah.
You got to cut from different cloths. I might go.
He would.
I mean, I'm not diehard. I mean, I'm not diehard.
That's a no.
I would have Cakes would be my guy. He'd be my wing guy.
You could bully him into
doing it. He would do it before the good of the show. Jason's opinion is show's good enough. We're good. Don't worry.
Yeah,
JP's opinion, it would have to be really
big. Just signed our 10th contract. Fine.
I know, I'm not saying it's going to save our career, but it could just,
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Right. JP.
But I'm not willing to pay for it, so it doesn't hurt. Because financially, it would hurt. Thank you.
Okay. All right, coming up next, we're going to get
back very simple.
To the Commanders-Giants matchup. Paul DiTino covers the New York Giants for WFAN in New York. We'll get some insight from him next on a Football Friday.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It is a football Friday. We'll get back into Commanders v. Giants now with a reporter who's been covering for WFAN for many years. I think 40 years actually covering the team. It's Paul Dottino. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you.
So is it 40 years just covering the Giants or 40 years in the business? What's the deal? That's an amazing accomplishment.
40 years on the beat of the New York Giants. Yeah, wow. I'm very proud of it. I'm nowhere near, though, Sid Dorfman, who did the Vikings since they came into being like in the early 60s and did it all the way till a couple of years ago when he passed away at like the age of 101.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
So I got quite a ways to catch him.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, good luck.
You're a target, though. You're a target.
You're a lifer. You get that title for 40 years on the beat.
That's a big one.
That's lifer status. So congrats. That's awesome.
Hey, in 40 years,
Paul. I appreciate
that
very much, guys.
In 40 years, Paul, do you have like a favorite go-to guy that you would find for quotes?
Wow. You know, when you've been around that long, you know, you're kind of known and respected by everybody in the locker room over the years, because then every time a new group comes in, the older guys tell them that guy's okay. And so it kind of continues to overturn and overturn. I've only had a handful of guys over the years who I really had problems with. So I can't say there's a favorite, because they're like 95% of the guys are my favorites.
Mm. All right, so let's talk about this team. There was a head coaching change. Daboll comes in. You guys come out of the gates red hot. Saquon's running all over everybody. Daniel Jones limiting the turnovers. But the last month or so, not so much. Kind of fill us in on where they are now and talk about that red hot start to the season.
Well, let me explain that the biggest thing that sidetracked this team, and it all started on the trip to Seattle, is when they had to reshuffle the offensive line. And guys, you know this. My God, I mean, the Hogs are legendary down in Washington. It will always start with the offensive line. You can go back all the way to the 1950s. If you don't have the battle in the trenches on your side, offensive line, defensive line, but specifically offensive line, then you're just going to significantly hamper your chances to win. And the Giants wound up getting badly hurt offensive line-wise for that Seattle game. And that's why they've lost 3 out of 4, in addition to the fact that they've got a hampered wide receiver core, and their secondary became crippled when Xavier McKinney, during the bye week, wound up getting injured in an automobile accident. So they lost their Pro Bowl caliber safety. And then Adoree Jackson, their cornerback one, who had been playing sensational all season long and really stepped up his game, he wound up getting hurt with a knee injury. So, you know, three significant parts of the team, the secondary, the offensive line, the wide receiver core, all got ravaged at the same time. And so that's why they lost 3 out of 4. The good news for the Giants, they're getting the Fabian Moreau, you guys know him, experienced corner who stepped in very well during the first half of the season. He's expected back this week. They should have their best 5 offensive linemen back on the field this week. They will have their starting linebacker, Daniel Bellinger, a rookie who is huge in the run game because of his blocking off the edge on the right side. He's coming back this week. And Aziz Ojulari, pass-rushing edge rusher, is also coming back this week. It's a perfect time for the Giants to begin to get healthy. because I don't think you're going to see the team you've seen in the past month. This will be much more like the team you saw back in September, and I think that gives them a much better chance of winning this game.
Yeah, and Paul, if I'm a Commanders fan, I'm concerned at the downtick from Barkley in three of those last four. Now, he had a really good performance against the Texans, but everybody runs against the Texans.
Exactly.
The last two, he's had 39 and 22 on the ground. Like, with that rebuilt offensive line, I'd be worried that he's going to see 25 to 30 carries, and if he gets over 100 yards, that's going to be tough sledding for the Commanders to keep up with.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what's likely to happen. Let me explain something to you about why I think this Giants O-line can handle their business. I happen to think that Payne and Allen as a combination is the best defensive tackle duo in the National Football League. I don't think I'm writing any headlines for you. There may be some other combos that are really good, but Payne and Allen, that's the best combo in the league. But here's the thing. If you're not going to out-physical them or out-power them or out-technique them, what's the one way you can attack and counteract a significantly talented duo like that? You do it by getting into a street fight. And that's what the Giants have on the interior. Right guard Mark Lewinsky, who's been steady all season, they run for 5 yards a carry when they run directly up his back. Very good in the run game. He's there at right guard, and this guy is like a pit bull. Your center, John Feliciano, they call him Dirtbag in the locker room because he's down and dirty, and he'll get into a street fight any time of the day. And then their new left guard now is Nick Gates, who's played left guard before. You guys will remember he suffered a broken leg in Washington at the beginning of last season. He's a center, guard, tackle. He plays all the positions. He is probably one of the tough sons of a gun you've seen in this league over the last 10 years. He will chew nails for breakfast, spit them out, and chew them out again. That's the kind of guy he is. These three interior linemen will not be afraid to get into a street fight with Payne and Allen. Thereby, in my opinion, that's the only chance you have to neutralize them, and I think the Giants have the three guys who can do it.
Paul, this particular matchup this late in the season, I can't remember it being this big. When you look at the percentages to make the playoffs, I think we saw earlier that if Washington wins, they're an 87% chance to make the playoffs. I got to think the Giants' number is pretty close to that because they would be 8-4. I mean, this is a huge matchup this late in the season in this rivalry.
Yeah, now, again, I don't know if you're looking at the computer models, which are projecting wins and losses the rest of the way, or the NFL numbers, which indicate that since 1970, teams that have gone 8-4 have gone to the playoffs 82 times. Teams that were 7-5 have gone to the playoffs 55% of the time. So that's, you know, you're talking about a significant nearly 30% jump based on a win or loss in this game. That's strictly based on history, right? Not based on projection.
Right. Well, but it's also based on the other records of this, of the NFC.
Well, I'm giving you history numbers. Teams that have gone to that record and what they've done. I'm not taking into consideration, like some of the models are that you're seeing, about the opponents, the other records, you know, who's injured, who's not. There's all kinds of people doing formulas, giving out percentages. I prefer to just stick with history. History is facts. That's no speculation.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, real quick, we got about a minute left. Daniel Jones had a lot of success over the years against Washington, though this Washington defense is playing really well. He doesn't have gaudy numbers, but it seems like he's played better this year with Daboll.
Yeah, no question about it. The offense is much more comfortable to him. They've been using much more of a moving pocket. Obviously, he's running more. And then in addition to that, one of the things that Daboll and Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator who came over from Kansas City, did is that they installed a number of alternate plays so that when Jones is up at the line, he's got a number of audibles that he can use instead of going off the page. Let's say you have one play and he's got an audible to something on his own, or it's an A-B, or, you know, which means left side, right side, or run pass option. No, that's not the case here. They actually give Jones literally a handful of audibles on any given play. That's why it's such a sophisticated system. But it takes a lot of the guesswork off of his plate. So he pretty much knows, okay, I've got maybe four options on this play. And it has really gone well for him. And I think one of the things that he has to keep in mind this week, yes, they need Barkley to touch it 25, 30 times. They need him to get about 130, 140 yards of total offense. There's no question. You guys know what the recipe is. Obviously, they know what the Washington recipe is. But the key for the Giants, I think, this week is to have Jones attack a little bit more, even though they've got a suspect receiving core. Washington's defense leads the league with 28 penalties against their secondary and leads the league with 11 pass interference penalties against their secondary. To me, that means you want to be a little more aggressive and challenge those guys because they will make mistakes back there. You guys have probably seen it. And I think Jones needs to be aware of that, and he needs to be a tad more aggressive to take a little of the pressure off of Barkley.
What is the perception of Jones, just quickly, there in New York? Because the national perspective, I think, might not match the local perspective. I got guys that live in Long Island. They love him.
Right. Well, I think what happens is this entire society has been dramatically impacted by fantasy football and over-unders and gambling. And so people equate whether or not you do well for their fantasy football team or whether or not you do well for their gambling prowess as to whether or not you're a quality player. Well, that's a crock of crap. I mean, you think Bill Parcells and Joe Gibbs gave a crap about fantasy football or gambling?
Right.
No, they cared about winning games. And that's my biggest problem. Society and the fan base in general continues to value players based on their fantasy numbers or their over-under gambling stat lines. Well, I got news for you, folks. That has nothing to do with the quality of the player. And any coach will tell you, he wants a football player who's going to give him a chance to win. Screw the stats.
Yeah, cakes. All right, thank you, Paul. Appreciate the time.
You're acting like I'm the old guy.
That's 24 penalties tied for second in the league against the secondary, not 28. I misspoke for a second. I want to make sure you guys got it right.
Paul DeTino, covers the Giants for WFAN. We said we were going to give you a chance to win a $100 Burton's Grill gift card this hour. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with that Burton's Grill gift card. Amazing bar scene, great atmosphere, great food. I was there. Going to be back there next Wednesday, 5 to 7. So call us now at 800-636-1067. Coming up next in studio, Lisa Ann.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.